When I was in Bible college, one of my mentors said to me, said, Josh, there's a fine line between a long sermon and a hostage situation. So I'm going to do my best to make sure we don't get into that territory this morning. I don't have a long message today, but it's an important message, okay? So I want you guys to listen and pay attention. I'm going to start off with a survey this morning. How many of you would honestly say, by show of hands, that you're frustrated that you're not doing more with your life? Would anybody just be real honest and say that today? Come on, just put your hands up. You're frustrated. You say, you know what? I know that there's more inside of me than I'm producing right now. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty this morning. Listen, I've been feeling this too. And because of that uneasiness, that dissatisfaction with life, that I'm going to do a two-part series this Sunday and next Sunday called Get It Done. Come on, say that. Get it done. Come on, tell your neighbor, get it done. Okay, I'm going to show you. I'm going to spend you the next 2 weeks telling you how to set goals in life and how to actually get things accomplished. Two parts to this teaching, and I hope that you'll be here for both parts because you really need both of them to be successful. But this morning, I'm going to talk about getting a vision. Listen, you need to get a vision for your future. We're talking about get it done, but if you don't know what it is, you're never going to get it done, okay? You need to write out a vision for where you're going in life. And that's why I've given you a piece of paper this morning with a place for notes on the back. Okay, you've got paper, you've got pens, and the seat backs in front of you. You have no excuses today. I want you to start writing down some thoughts, some visions, some plans for your life and your future. Listen, vision has power. When you have a vision of where you're going, it will change the way you look at life. Have you ever gone look shopping for vehicles and you found a certain car that you really wanted, and you picked out the color, you picked out the model, you picked out the style, and then everywhere you go after that, you seem to notice that car? Anybody? It's like all of a sudden they're all over the highway and you're shopping in the Walmart and there's that car again. You know why? Listen, that car was always there. It was always around you. There were just as many as there always have been. But the reason that you see them is because you get a vision of what you want, and then it determines the way you look at the world around you. That's the power of vision. Your vision determines your focus, and your focus determines your reality. Now, I'm excited because I've been hearing from God lately concerning the future of our church, and God has given me a greater vision and expanded view of what He wants to do through this ministry. And there's some things that I am chomping at the bit to share with y'all. Listen, we're in a season of growth, y'all. We put out 40 or 50 more chairs on Christmas Eve, and we've left them out because more and more people are coming. We're growing. We're in a season of growth, and God is saying, you better get ready for the next level of ministry in this church and in this city. So I'm chomping at the bit to share with you about the vision of where we're going as a church, but today I'm not here to talk about the church's vision. Today, I'm here to talk about your vision. I'm here to talk about you, because I'll be honest with you, I refuse to share a ministry vision with people who have no personal vision. Let that sink in for a little while. I'm excited about sharing the church's vision, but I want you to get a vision for your life first and find out what it's like to live with a vision leading you and guiding you and directing you every single day. Because you won't understand what it's like to be a church with vision until you understand what it's like to live your own life with vision. So tell your neighbor, help me preach, tell them you need vision. Come on, tell somebody else, you need vision. Now tell yourself, I need vision. Got a witness on that one. What is vision? Vision is seeing where you're going before you get there. Vision is seeing where you're going before you get there. It's seeing in advance. It's seeing before it's made manifest in your life. I'll give you a personal example. I have a vision for myself to weigh 170 pounds. And I had help setting that vision by my medical doctor. He helped me set that goal. All right, so that's my vision. But because that's become my vision, when I look in the mirror, I don't weigh 170 pounds. But when I look in the mirror, I don't see 170 pounds, but in my mind, I see it. In my mind, I can picture it. I can envision it. And I'm starting to work out and exercise and get ready because I've become obsessed with that vision. That's my goal. That's my future. It's not where I might be going. It's where I am going. Because I am not about to get up and exercise and give up Krispy Kreme donuts to not reach that goal. Buddy. You make me miserable. I'm going to go all the way with that thing. But in my mind, I can see it. I can visualize it. I'm shopping for clothes right now that are two sizes smaller than what I'm wearing. Why? Because that's where I'm going. Yeah. That's all right. Y'all don't have to clap. I'll lose it. I'll lose it with or without you. But here's my point. Vision is seeing where you're going before you get there. Bible says in Hebrews 11:1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Notice that faith starts in the unseen realm. If you go down another verse, it says in Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Think about that. When you get a vision for your life, listen, you're creating the same way God creates. You're seeing into the unseen realm. And the unseen realm is where it begins. Everything that we see in this world had its beginning in the unseen realm. So when you get a vision for your life, you're looking into the unseen and you're speaking those things that be not as though they were. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God. So the things which are seen did not come from things which are seen, but things which are unseen. Amen. So before it becomes a reality in the physical realm, it must first become a reality in the spiritual realm. And faith looks past where you are to see where you're going. Aren't you glad we can be people of faith? No matter what kind of mess you're in the middle of right now, when you're a man of faith, a woman of faith, you can look past where you are and see where you're heading. And here's the reality. You've got to get a vision for your future, because if you don't, you will not succeed. Welcome to Generation Church. We make you feel real good about yourself. If you don't get a vision for your future, you will not succeed. Why do I say that? Because Proverbs 29:18 tells us, where there is no vision, the people perish. You must have a vision. You must have direction for your life. You have to have dreams and goals and aspirations. One of my favorite books is called Man's Search for Meaning. It was written by Viktor Frankl, who was a Holocaust survivor. And he shares in that book, he said, during the Holocaust, as he was imprisoned in a concentration camp, every day when he was working that grueling labor, every day he would picture himself out in the world after World War II. Now, we know that there was an end date to Second World War, but people who were living through that, they had no idea that when an end date end would come to that. But he said every day he would picture himself, he was a psychologist, he would picture himself sitting down helping patients in his psychology practice after he got out of the concentration camp. And he said, it's an amazing thing, because I kept that vision and that purpose and that future before me. I was able to survive and persevere and keep pressing forward, even though I was in an unthinkable environment against unspeakable odds. He had a vision for where he was going, and because he had a vision, he persevered and he made it. And he said, by the same token, he saw so many people who gave up hope and just died. So many people who gave up hope because they had no vision for a better tomorrow. And some of you, and I'm going to get personal for just a moment, but some of you guys have suicidal tendencies in your life that you need to deal with. You may not be contemplating physical suicide, but some of you, you're killing your health. You're killing your marriage. You're killing your family relationships. You're killing your career. You're killing God's calling on your life because you're so caught up in the pain of yesterday and the pain of today that you've lost your vision for a better tomorrow. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And it's time to get a vision for where you're going, whether it's for your health or your marriage or your finances, whatever it is for you, you need to write down a vision for your life. Okay? And this is going to help. I'm just getting practical for a little while. You need to be specific. Be specific. Tell somebody, be specific. Okay? A vague vision will get you nowhere. Okay, we just read Habakkuk 2:2. It said, write the vision so you can run with it. So you need to write it out and you need to be specific in that vision. Okay, don't just say, I want to lose weight. Okay, because if you just say, I want to lose weight, technically you could take your shoes off and you've met your goal. Congratulations. Come on, when I go to the doctor, man, I take my shoes off. I take my phone out. I spit, right? I let go of everything that let me go. They let me take off there in the doctor's office before I wait, because I'm trying to squeeze every last ounce out of that thing. Oh, thank you. Yes. Don't just say, I want to lose weight. You need to write down the exact number of pounds and even down to the ounce of what you want to lose. You need to have a specific vision of where you're going. Don't just say, I want more money. Amen. Who wants more money? Raise your hand this morning. Okay, Marjorie, there's a nickel now. Leave me alone. Robin, I saw your, I'm going to give you a fivefold. There's a quarter. That's five. That's a fivefold blessing. Don't just say, I want more money. Be specific. How much do you need? How much do you desire? You got to have a specific vision, because a cloudy vision will deliver cloudy results. A clear vision will give you clear results. Clear results. And here's another thing. Dare to dream big. Dare to dream big. Now, don't be stupid. Don't say, I want $1 million by this time Friday. Right? There's nothing spiritual about being a moron, folks. Okay, so don't be stupid, okay? But dream big. Don't be dumb about it, but dream big. Listen, I want you to imagine the in your mind the greatest thing that you can accomplish on your own. And that's not big enough for you. Think about your human limitation and take a step further and dare to dream even bigger than that. Do not be small-minded in your vision. Dream a God-sized dream. Listen, if your dream doesn't require a miracle, you're not dreaming big enough. Because my Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. We serve a great big God, and if you're a child of God, you ought to have a great big dream. So today, thank you for that one golf clap of praise. What today, that's all right. Like I said, I ain't scared of y'all. This morning, I want to share with you three ingredients of vision. Okay? You need these three elements work together to give you a vision of where you need to go in life. Are y'all ready this morning? Three ingredients of vision. Number one is a purpose. Your vision must have a purpose. Listen, you have to know why you're pursuing the vision, because if you don't know why you're chasing that vision for your life, you're like a dog chasing a car. Come on, I heard about a dog who would chase the same car every day. That car would drive by and he would take off running and take off barking and shooting down the highway. Every single day, about the same time of day, that car would ride by and he'd take off running. That car would ride by, he'd take off running. That car would ride by, he'd take off running. Finally, one day, while he was chasing the car came to a stop and he actually caught up with it. The little dog sat there all kind of confused, like, what do I do now? Why? Because dogs don't know how to drive cars. And when you're pursuing a vision for your life and you don't know why, you're going to be like that little dog. You're going to catch the vision and you're not going to know what to do with it. Amen. Be intentional. Have a vision. Listen, it doesn't matter how big the vision is. It doesn't mean anything if you have no purpose behind it. You say to me, well, I want to make $1 million. That's great. Why?
Really? Amen.
I don't know. You want to make $1 million? Why do you want to make $1 million? What's the purpose? What purpose do you want to accomplish? What are you going to do with $1 million? Listen, your vision has to have a purpose. Never do anything just to do something. Amen. Be intentional. Live your life with purpose. And here's a key principle. There should be a kingdom purpose behind everything you do. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So if you put God first and seek him first and put his purpose first in all things, everything else, Jesus said, is going to be taken care of. Amen. Seek God first and everything else will fall into place. And when you're writing your vision, it has to have a godly purpose. If you're doing our 2018 Bible Challenge, where we're reading through the entire Bible in 2018, then just last week you read Genesis chapter 22 about the blessing of Abraham. Genesis 22, 17, this is God himself talking to Abraham. He said, Abraham, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is of the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Listen, God blesses people to be a blessing. Amen. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Tell somebody, God blesses people to be a blessing. I want to look back at verse 17 in the King James Bible just because that's what I grew up on. This is the way it says it there in Genesis 22, 17. Says that in blessing, I will bless thee. In blessing, I will bless thee. I love this verse. God tells Abraham, I'm blessing you with blessing. Y'all get that? In blessing, I will bless thee. I'm blessing you with blessing. In other words, blessing is the blessing. Blessing is the blessing. Abraham, your ability to bless others is my blessing to you. I want y'all to get a hold of that. In blessing, I will bless thee. Abraham, your ability to bless people is my blessing upon your life. That was God's blessing on Abraham. And guess what the Bible says in Galatians 3:29? It says, if you belong to Christ. Anybody here belong to Christ? If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants and heirs according to the promise. That means that the blessing of Abraham belongs to you. God wants to bless you to be a blessing. In blessing, I will bless thee. Come on, tell somebody, I'm blessed to be a blessing. If your vision is not about blessing others, it's not God's vision for your life. Don't worry, I'm almost done. Three ingredients of a vision. Number one is a purpose. Number two, I like this. Number two is a problem. A problem. When it comes to writing out a vision for your life, listen, there is no better motivation than just a good old-fashioned problem. If you've got problems in your life, be encouraged this morning because problems produce vision for a better tomorrow. You don't have to believe me now, but think about it. Some of y'all would have never learned how to manage money if you hadn't ended up broke. Amen. Some of y'all would have never got married if she hadn't dumped y'all behind. Problems produce vision for a better tomorrow. And if you want to be motivated and driven by vision, that vision needs to solve a problem. And here, listen, the bigger your problem is, the bigger your vision needs to be. The bigger your problem is, the bigger your vision needs to be. Listen, when you write down the vision for your life, you need to find a problem to solve. And I'm going to help you with this process a little bit. I'm going to help you guys do some planning. This is just practical today. I'm going to help you write out your vision and find out what problem, okay? Let me ask you a couple questions. First of all, what bothers you most about your life right now? I want you to think about it. What bothers you most about your life? What problem are you facing right now? Maybe that's the area where you need a vision for a better tomorrow. Because vision always solves a problem, and problems produce vision. Listen, your success in life has nothing to do with the amount of problems you have. It has everything to do with how you respond to those problems. When you are faced with a problem, you can either get a vision for a better tomorrow, or you can just give up and quit. But listen, you've got to respond to your problem. You can respond the wrong way or the right way, but I don't know about you. When I have a problem hit my life, I want to get a vision for a better tomorrow. I don't want to camp out and stay where I am. So what bothers you most about your life right now? What bothers you most about your family tree? Uh-oh. What bothers you most about your family tree? What generational curses run in your family? Listen, so many times people follow in the footsteps of their family members, whether that's good or bad. People tend to stay in the cycle and the pattern that they were raised in. Some of you, it's time to break that curse off of your life. So think about it. What are the generational curses in your family? Maybe it's bitterness. Oh, mama could hold a grudge like nobody's business. So what do? You hold a grudge till you've been mad at somebody so long you don't even know what they did to make you mad to begin with. You just know you're mad at them. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's holding a grudge. Maybe it's time to re-examine your position when it comes to your fellow man. Maybe it's poverty. This is a big one. Listen, poverty is passed down from one generation to another. My family grew up in absolute poverty, and I thank God my parents broke that cycle off of my family before I even came along. So I thank God for that. But listen, so many times we pick up our spending habits and our money habits from our parents and from our family members, from the people who raised us. Maybe it's poverty. Maybe that bothers you most about your family. Listen, I had somebody explain it to me like this when I was young. Think about this. Real estate increases in value over time. Amen. It's what we call appreciation. So if you have a piece of property now, 50 years from now, it'll be worth significantly more than it is right now at this moment. Okay? Now, on the other side of that, automobiles... automobiles don't appreciate, with very few exceptions, so that your car that you have today, 50 years from now, that thing is going to be done being converted into a microwave from the scrapyard. If you put all your money over here and no money over here, that money is going to leave your life instead of multiply. It's time to re-examine the way you think about finances. And it's getting so quiet, I thought y'all had left. I'm going to keep on going. All right. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's poverty. Maybe it's anger. Oh, daddy would fly off the handle at everybody, and I find myself doing the same thing. Maybe it's anger. Did you know that the tongue can be more painful than the hand? The things that you say with your mouth can do more damage than if you were to physically assault somebody. Some of y'all need to reconsider the things that you say and how you deal with those anger tendencies. Maybe it's addiction. If alcoholism runs in your family, you need to get the alcohol out of your house. And I know there's a debate in a lot of churches, can a Christian drink alcohol? And let me respond to your question with the question, why do you want to drink alcohol? Yeah. Oh, shoot, I didn't plan on getting into all that today. Here's what we know. Okay, people tell me all the time, well, Pastor, the Bible doesn't forbid alcohol. It doesn't, but it does call drunkenness a sin. So I would have to ask you the question, where does drunkenness start? Drunkenness begins with that first drink, doesn't it? So here's my philosophy. If you don't take the first sip, you can't get drunk and you won't fall into sin. It's just simple to me. Anyway, I'm going to get cards and letters this week. What bothers you most about your family tree? Maybe it's racism. Woo! Yeah, that's one thing that's passed down from generation to generation, isn't it? I've heard so many people say years ago, well, thank God generation's dying out, but all of it is still rearing up its ugly head. By the way, racism goes in many directions. Don't sit here and pat yourself on the back because you got the black, white, Hispanic thing. You got that nail, but you hate Arabs. I'm sorry, y'all. Some wish you went to the Presbyterian church this morning. Take a hard look at your life. Take an honest look at your family. What are the generational cycles that are being passed down from generation to generation to generation? And I dare you to say, I'm going to be the hero of my family tree and these things that have been passed on from generation to generation. Just because it was passed down to you doesn't mean that you have to pass it down to them. You can't help what you've been given, but you don't have to pass it along. I love what Galatians 3:13 says. It says, Jesus became a curse for us. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. Jesus broke the power of generational curses off of your life, and you don't have to live under that anymore. The legacy that you inherit is not the legacy that you have to leave. Last question. I'll move on to the next point. What bothers you most about the world around you? Listen, God created every one of us to solve a problem. Did you know that? He created you to solve a problem. God created every one of us to solve a problem in this life. Well, how do I find my problem to solve? Well, what bothers you the most about the world we live in? Because the thing that bothers you the most may be the very problem that God created you to solve. What breaks your heart more than anything else? Maybe it's children who are suffering abuse. Maybe it's women who are living in abusive relationships. Maybe it's young women in our community who are involved in the sex trade. I don't know. Maybe it's people who are bound by homosexuality. Maybe it's men and women who are bound by addiction. Maybe your heart breaks for innocent children who are being bullied or don't have enough food to eat. Maybe your heart breaks for students who are falling behind in their grades because they don't have support to help them learn and grow. Maybe your heart is broken by the violence and the racism that we're seeing in our nation. Maybe your heart breaks for the drug problem that we have in our city. Maybe you're bothered by the lack of Christian values in our nation's politics. No matter what it is, I want you to think about it this morning. What breaks your heart the most? Maybe you've sat there and you've wondered, why doesn't anybody else care as much as I do about this issue? Anybody ever thought that? You talk about something, you observe something, and nobody around you seems to care. They certainly don't care as much as you do. You say, why doesn't this bother everybody else? I'll tell you why. Because maybe God made your heart sensitive to that thing because that's the problem He created you to solve. Listen, God gave you that burden. He put it deep down in your soul. And if you open up your heart, guess what God can do? He can turn your misery into a ministry. What bothers you the most in the world around you? Three ingredients of vision. I'm almost done. Number one is a purpose. Number two is a problem. Last one. Number three is a promise. Every vision needs a purpose. Every vision solves a problem. And every vision has a promise. If you want your vision to prosper, it needs to reach for a promise of God. Find a promise and aim for it. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. I love that. What does amen mean? It means it shall be done. All of God's promises are yes and amen. When your vision is backed by the promises of God, it is backed by a force that no man on earth, no angel in heaven, and no devil in hell will be able to stop. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. That's what God says in His word. If you want a powerful vision for your life, get into the word of God and discover God's promises for your life. Listen, for every problem you have, there is a promise of God. If your problem is sickness, then you have a promise in Isaiah 53:5. It says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. If your problem is a bad medical diagnosis, your promise is Psalm 118:17. I've stood on this verse many times. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. I just dare you to claim that promise for yourself, to wake up in the morning and say, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I will tell somebody about what God has done in my life. If your problem is guilt, your promise is 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If your problem is fear, your promise is 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Some of you, the devil's been tormenting you in your sleep, waking you up in the middle of the night, trying to grip you with fear. You need to just rear up and claim 2 Timothy 1:7 and say, devil, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You can say it just like that and wake up everybody in the house. I don't even care. Stand on God's promise. If your problem is lack, your promise is Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I'll give you a bonus since we're talking about money. Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing. There won't be room enough to contain it. That is your promise. When your vision is founded on God's truth for your life, that vision will carry you from the problem to the promise. And what's the greatest promise in all the Bible? It's found in Acts 16:31. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Blaise Pascal, the mathematician and French philosopher, once said, there is a God-shaped hole in the human heart that only he can fill. I want to ask the musicians to go ahead and come as we get ready to close. The greatest promise in all the Bibles, believe on the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. Listen, y'all, the world's greatest problem today is not pollution. The world's greatest problem, it's not global warming, it's not Donald Trump. The world's greatest problem is sin. Sin affects all of us. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And no one can overcome sin on their own. That's why Jesus came. To break the power of sin. Some, I'm talking about getting a vision for your life. Some of you guys, you're getting a vision for a better future now. You're getting a vision for an eternity spent with God. You're getting a vision for eternal life. For the kind of hope and joy and peace that only comes through Jesus. Jesus came and lived a sinless life. He died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. He paid the price for me and he paid the price for you. And God proved to all the world for all time that the sacrifices was sufficient when he raised Jesus from the dead. And through faith in Jesus Christ, you can be set free. You can have eternal life. You can embrace God's vision for your life. Eternity in the presence of God in the arms of Jesus. Will you pray with me for a moment today? Lord, I thank you. God, that you're calling us to greater things. Lord, you're calling us to reach further. You're calling us to go further. God, you're calling us, Lord, to enlarge our territory and our capacity to believe. And Lord, I thank you most of all that there's somebody listening right now that you're calling them to a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're calling them to eternal life, to freedom from sin. Lord, I thank you that you're calling. As the church continues to pray, I just want to share something that Jesus said in the book of Revelation. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Listen, Jesus paid the ultimate price Bible says he's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. He died to pay your debt. But Jesus will never force himself on anybody. He's standing there patiently knocking at the door of your heart. And I challenge you today to open up your heart, to let Jesus in, to let him be the Lord of your life, to let him give you the hope and the joy and the peace that only comes from him. Embrace God's vision for your life. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. I want to lead you in a simple prayer today, and I want to ask everybody here, repeat this prayer out loud. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. And Jesus, with your help, I'll live for you the rest of my life. And if I stumble, and if I fall, Jesus, I'll repent, I'll get back up, and keep going. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You prayed that prayer, you've made the greatest decision of your lifetime.